This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
I'm going to take the hotter, looser, more confident team. I like the Tar Heels to upset the Blue Devils inside Cameron Indoor.
So senior night will wind up with a victory for the Duke Blue Devils.
This game means more to North Carolina than it does Duke.
To go out like this on senior night, how do you describe it?
It's amazing. I mean, in front of the crazies, it's amazing.
I expect North Carolina to jump out on the Blue Devils the same way NC State did last Monday, and I think they're going to hold on to a lead.
And that'll do it. Carolina fights hard, but too much from Duke, a 13-point win.
I thought the craziest Duke Carolina image I'd have this year was Walker Miller hitting a go-ahead free throw in overtime at the Smith Center. However, that is now trumped by Justin Baby Admiral Robinson being the difference in a Duke Carolina game. It's simple. Without him, Duke loses. With him and his 13 points, Duke wins the game by, you guessed it, 13 points. And I think where he helped most was on the defensive end. Other than Vernon Carey, he was Duke's best defense against a North Carolina two-big lineup. Javon Delorier, Matt Hurt, Jack White, it was also his senior night, they couldn't stay on the floor. Brooks and Armando Bacot, they were dominant, combining for 39 points and 15 rebounds. Armando. 39 points and 25 rebounds. Excuse me, J-Rob had 4 blocks on his senior night in addition to those 13 points. And the way he scored those 13 points, Robert, might have been the craziest part. He pulled a North Carolina defender to the three-point line because early on, he hits a couple of threes, and then in the second half, he hit some triples. He was 4 of 6 from 3. The rest of Duke was 6 of 15. In the second half, he had the 3 that put Duke ahead 77-67. North Carolina, the rest of the way, they wouldn't get to that mark. It was with less than 5 minutes left to go. That really felt like a dagger. It broke North Carolina's will. It's no longer a what-if for Duke. Like, Duke is not a great three-point shooting team. They entered the game 96th in the country from 3. So they needed something from out there, and it's just strange to say that J-Rob provided it. And it wasn't a one-off. Over the last 4 games, Justin Robinson is 7 of 12 from three-point range. He's the latest example of Coach K having intuition and it paying off, and it happening very late in the year. Brian Zubek, his role expanding starting in the month of February during that Duke championship year in 2010. Grayson Allen in 2015, Coach K dismisses a player for the first time. That was Rashid Suleiman. Grayson Allen's minutes goes up as a result, and without Allen against Wisconsin in that championship game, Coach K and Duke do not have their 5th title. Last year, Jordan Goldwire, not playing at all. Then against Louisville, he plays in the second half of that game, sparks the big comeback. They win at the Yum Center. Against North Carolina in the semifinal last year, that classic that ended with Zion's second jump and that putback. Duke's not in that position without Goldwire, who played terrific defense that night at Charlotte. He played 28 minutes in the game. So Justin Robinson, he's just the latest of Coach K developing a player and having intuition when to insert him into the lineup. And these last 4 games, he's been very good for Duke. Not just good for J-Rob standard, very good for the Blue Devils in general, which today is the number 10 team in America and the latest AP poll. This was Coach K after the game talking about J-Rob's emergence.
Justin Robinson has been a godsend for us. Yeah, he had his fingerprints on every aspect of the game tonight. You know, and his four blocks, but he helped change some shots, rebounds, and we were able to execute down the stretch with him making a few assists.
That's Coach K. Your thoughts are welcome. 336-777-1600. Robert Walsh, the producer of this show. Aaron Gabriel, he's in the house as well as an assistant producer. Brendan Mark's going to be here to talk about Duke, North Carolina, NC State's chances, the ACC tournament, which begins tomorrow in Greensboro after a five-year absence. Again, your thoughts welcome at 777-1600. Let's go to Ed in Winston-Salem, who wants in on the North Carolina end of things. I think J-Rob was the difference in this game for Duke. Ed, what do you got after the Tar Heels drop both regular season games to Duke?
You hit the nail on the head. Justin Robinson was definitely the X factor. Besides scoring, you know, 13 points, I think he had four blocks, you know, several rebounds. And then Carolina inconsistency, shooting the ball 40% from the field, 33 from three-point range. And then Duke, this was really a big shocker, just beating them down the court. I know at least five or six times, you know, on transition, baskets, getting easy layups or dunks. And in the second half, I believe they may have had another two or three, but Duke was a better team on that. And if I could, let me ask you a quick question, Josh. I know.
Yeah, what's that?
Duke is, I know, will be in Greensboro for the first two rounds, but right now, both bracketologists, Palm and Lenardi, both have them a number three seed in the Midwest behind Duke and Creighton. Do you think that'll happen, or do you think if they would win out in the ACC, they could stay in the East?
Yeah, it's interesting. Thank you for the phone call, Ed.
You
said they're behind Duke and Creighton. I think you're talking about Duke here, if I have it correct. They're number 10 right now in the AP poll, and it looks like to me that unless they get to the championship game, Duke, they're not going to be even on the two line. I think they're going to be a three because their first game is going to be against either NC State, Wake Forest, or Pittsburgh. I don't think just one win there is going to be enough to propel you. The big question is, if they go up against, in the second round, who would it have been? It would be Florida State in the second round. If they face them and beat the Seminoles, who right now are number four, is that going to be enough for them to climb in the poll, even if they lose to, say, Louisville in the championship game? I think it would be close, but I understand what Lenardi and Palm are thinking in that regard, having Duke on the three line. I want to shift things to something that happened just drastically this weekend. In the NBA, LeBron James faced Milwaukee and the Clippers this weekend. The entire Lakers did too. It wasn't just LeBron James. But LeBron was terrific in both games. Giannis, he got a little nicked up Friday night. And yesterday, LeBron, in game 61 or 62 for the Lakers, you could tell it really mattered to him to beat the Clippers after losing the first two. Also, it seems like he really wants to be involved in this MVP race that everybody said was wrapped up even 2 weeks ago for Giannis to win back-to-back years. I think LeBron is going to win the MVP eventually if these paces continue because his story is stronger than Giannis's. You might think that sounds crazy, especially if you're a basketball nerd and look at the analytics. Giannis, he has LeBron in pretty much every single statistical category. However, while Giannis has the stats, LeBron has the emotional appeal. Johnny Cochran, I think, said in the 90s, it's not about, when you're defending a case, it's not about just presenting the facts. It's about telling a story. And whoever story wins, or whoever story is better, will likely win the case. That's how he said he won the OJ trial. He told a better story than the attorneys on the other side did. LeBron James here hasn't won the MVP in several years. He didn't make the playoffs last year, his first year with the Lakers. The Lakers haven't been to the playoffs in a half dozen years. It's his 17th season. The Lakers are in first place. Maybe the most beloved Los Angeles Laker, not named Magic Johnson, passed away tragically 2 months ago, and the Lakers have dedicated this season to Kobe Bryant. LeBron, he's having an amazing year, and also, it feels like the fact that Giannis won last year is gonna be used against him. It's hard to win awards back-to-back year. I think Tony Bennett in the ACC did a better coaching job than Leonard Hamilton did. But Leonard Hamilton was a better story. FSU had never won an outright ACC championship, which they clinched this weekend in the regular season. Leonard Hamilton didn't make the NCAA tournament his first 6 years in Tallahassee. It was a full rebuilding job. Tony Bennett won last year. I thought Tony Bennett did a better job, but he doesn't win the award. Leonard Hamilton is a better story. Like in the Oscars, if you've won the award before, that's going to hurt you when you're facing somebody who is a better story. Even though LeBron's won it 4 times, it's been such a long time that it almost feels like he hasn't. Giannis, he's still very young. He's going to have all these years to win it. You're going to hear that expression. It's going to be a part of the news cycle. Giannis has the stats, but LeBron has the story. He has the emotional appeal. He has the narrative on his side. And Vegas has taken notice. 2 weeks ago, Giannis was a runaway favorite to win the MVP. LeBron, he was at plus 1,500. Even on Friday, going into the game against Milwaukee, he was plus 1,100. Now LeBron's odds are all the way up to plus 300. While Giannis, who was minus 700, he's down to minus 200. I don't mean to get into all the Vegas lingo. I hope I'm not talking over anybody's head here, but it's now gotten razor thin. And I think if things are close, which I expect them to be now, going down the stretch, the final 4 weeks of the season, narrative and story are going to play a role, and LeBron's story is better than Giannis's. Today is finally the day of the great Joel Berry Sawyer Dillon 2K showdown. It's going to happen here in our studio. I'll give you my pick for this game. I'll give you a... I'll somehow come up with a point spread since we were just talking about Vegas. I'll conjure one of those. And I'll react to the rest of the ACC awards next on The Drive.
No mercy, no pity, no fear.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
I think it's just a matter of just being more efficient with my play and just being a smarter basketball player overall. Coach Williams, Coach Davis, Coach Rob, Coach Fred, everyone, they just all just helped me become a smarter player.
That was Cole Anthony in the Cameron Indoor Stadium visiting locker room following Duke beating North Carolina by 13 points. We're being joined by another great North Carolina point guard, Joel Berry, kind enough to spend time with us here in studio from the Greensboro Swarm. And that question was in response to how he grew as a player since he returned from injury, when many people said that, hey, maybe it's best for you to just pursue the NBA draft, not return to Chapel Hill. I think his play over the last month has kind of taught us that it was the right move. There is a thing or two you can learn playing for a Hall of Fame basketball coach like Roy Williams. Like, give me a sense, Joel. Some of the areas, year to year, playing for Coach Williams, you got better in at the point guard spot.
One of the biggest things for me was valuing the ball. Being a point guard, you know, you want to set your team up and be able to put your team in the best position to get a basket. So from my freshman year all the way into my senior year, I think each year I got better in the assist-to-turnover ratio. And I think that's the biggest thing. For me, that I improved on, and that was that's just something that the point guard needs to have. And with Coach Williams, he helped me through the helped me with that, and also with the assistant coaches and me just being more comfortable. But that was the biggest thing for me.
It's so interesting you bring that up. That's exactly what Kobe White brought up at this time a year ago, where he wasn't considered to be a draft pick at all, and then he's picked in the lottery, picked in the top 10. There was a lot he gained for playing under Coach Williams. And this year, Cole's gotten a lot better where he's become a more efficient player. Saturday snapped a six-game run in which he had 17 points and at least 43% shooting. So he's been great the last month of the year. I asked Cole about this idea that he potentially could sit out, and this is what Cole told me in the locker room as well after the game.
I had a bunch of people talking to me about draft stock. I mean, all that stuff is cool, but at the end of the day, I sit out. The best way to get better at basketball is game experience. It's getting out on that court and just playing basketball. That's what I did. I mean, I felt like I had a lot more to give this team, a lot more to give my brothers. I feel like I couldn't go out like how I went out with them. At this point, we're not done yet. Just going to play as hard as I can for this team.
Let me ask you this. That locker room, the visiting locker room at Cameron, is there any locker room that's more tight or small as that one?
No, I think that's the tightest locker room I've ever been in.
Yeah. It was just tough just getting in and around that.
Yeah, it's really small.
But what he's saying there, he wanted to give this team more. And I think commitment is lost in today's college basketball where you have a lot of guys transferring left and right. I don't want to blame those guys for doing it because they're wanting to put themselves in a better situation. But the James Wiseman go to school for a month and then decide, yeah, I'm just going to pursue the NBA draft. That doesn't make much sense to me because even if you want to make the comparison to college football players sitting out of the bowl game, those guys, they're required to be in school for 3 or 4 years. They've been there and they've followed through on their commitment to play college football. College basketball, the one and done players, you're there on campus for 6, 7, maybe 8 months. So if you said you're going to commit to Roy Williams in North Carolina, you follow through on that commitment. And it seems like that's what Greg Anthony has said time and time again about his son. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's what Cole's going to do. He committed to North Carolina on Get Up last year. This is what he wants. And I think that's something that is going to be looked on well by draft scouts too, saying he could have left and just pursued the NBA, and he decided to come back instead.
Right. I think that was a great decision, and I like what he said. There's nothing like having game experience, and you can never simulate any workout or anything that you do to a game experience. And I've had my fair share of that too, and knowing that, you know, it's very different from working out and playing the actual game. So I think that him wanting to come back and compete for the team, I mean, he's just a kid that just likes to play basketball, and if that's what you like to do, then, I think that everything else should go out the door and you just go play basketball. So I love that he said that.
It's Joel Berry in with us, former Tar Heel great now with the Greensboro Swarm, dropping buckets like 18 points this most recent Friday. So you've had your fair share of pro basketball experience, and of course, you've reached the top levels of college basketball as well. So when you see Cole Anthony, not just as a tremendous college point guard, but as somebody who's going to be transitioning one day to the NBA, what stands out to you about him? Is it his frame or something about his game?
He's a 6'4 point guard. He's very athletic, very quick on the court. And I think that, you know, going to the NBA, there'll be some adjustments. I mean, you're playing with guys who are just as athletic as you, can do some of the same things that you can do and even better. So now when you get to the NBA level, you know, a lot more IQ come into play. You have to think the game and you have to be smart about it. So, but I think he'll be just fine. He's a great player.
All right, here's what we need to do.
So he's gone is what y'all are saying. He's out of here.
I don't know if he's gone.
He's
I'm going to be honest.
Is what y'all are saying.
I'm going to be honest. His family's okay.
Yes.
Like most instances where guys decide to go pro early when they're not ready, it's, okay, I need to make some money to help my family. Well, I guarantee you Greg Anthony is telling his son, do what's best for you, right? We're good. We're fine. Now, that doesn't mean he's still not going to jump because this is a thin draft and he might be a lottery pick. But if he enjoys Chapel Hill enough to return the way he did a month and a half ago, if he enjoys Chapel Hill enough to want to follow through and potentially have success there and win there, since he hadn't done that at any point really this year, looking at the recruiting class next year, the one area that isn't very strong in this great recruiting class is point guard. there's a chance that he could fit well with some of these guys, fit well with the Puff Johnson, fit well with the Dayron Sharp, these type of players who are going to be coming in next year. So I'm not completely ruling it out yet.
I hope not. I hope he got enough pride to say, listen, I don't want my only season in a Tar Heel jersey to be the worst season in Tar Heel history.
And you got Garrison Brooks coming back. Yeah, you know, G. Ant Harris is going to be coming back. He's going to get the medical red shirt.
Talk that talk, Jay. Yeah, we got Buckets coming back. Dang right we do.
Yeah, Garrison's been getting it in. And as you see, the accolades that he won, man, he had a great season this year.
Second team All-ACC and the most improved player in the ACC. When you don't win a ton, it's easy for you to get overlooked.
That's ridiculous, man. Oh, my gosh. Second team, that guy was a buck. He's averaged 25 the last four games, bro. He's averaging like a double-double this season on a putrid UNC team. How does that man get overlooked? Who was this Hughes? Who is this Hughes? Get out of here.
I actually knew Elijah Hughes when he played at East Carolina a few years ago.
Well, congratulations. I don't give a ding-dong-dang. Listen to what I'm saying to you. G is first team all ACC. Ray Charles can see it. Stevie Wonder can see it. It can be seen is what
B-Dot,
I'm saying.
He's the unofficial mascot for Tar Heel basketball for a reason. He's going to ride or die with Joel Berry and the Heels.
Yeah, I am.
But here's what we got to do. We've got something we've been trying to line up for a while now. JB's about to go head-to-head with our assistant producer, Sawyer Dillon. Both of you guys are terrible at talking trash. You're so polite. Sawyer's very polite, too, and he's a quieter type. So, Robert, what have you guys cooked up today to try and set this thing up, to make this thing seem bigger than what it actually is? Joel versus Sawyer Dillon in NBA 2K.
Today, we have a matchup for the ages. A tale as old as time. A hooper, an accomplished basketball player with a list of accolades as long as his jump shot, will take on a gamer who's, well...
Nerd alert!
He's a nerd.
They're playing basketball!
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 They'll meet on the virtual court to decide once and for all who really has game.
This is the news!
It's David versus Goliath.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, dance, dance.
Actually, it's Joel Berry and Sawyer Dillon.
Pump up the jam, pump it up, pump it up, yo.
Sports Hub Triad presents Free Throws in the Studios.
All right, this is going to happen in about 10 minutes. You can find the video stream on Twitch. We'll be posting that on our social media pages.
It's posted now.
All right, it's posted now, so yep. You can find that at Sports Hub Triad on Twitter. I'm sure we'll find a way to get it on Facebook. I'll retweet it at Josh Graham Radio. B-Dot's page will have it. Here are the ground rules. We're going to do three random teams, or you can have a fourth suicide where you have to randomize a fourth time and have to go with the team you pick. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
All right. If you had it your way, is there a team you would play with? You feel most confident with?
I like the Brooklyn Nets. I'm really good with them. So if that's one of my choices, I'm going with it.
Kenny Atkinson got fired this weekend,
which was crazy.
With the Nets,
really?
Well, I don't think he wanted to coach KD and Kyrie.
That's crazy. They are in the playoffs without him.
Right.
I mean,
here we are.
Gosh.
Yeah, that happened this past weekend.
Wow.
So. How confident are you feeling right now? You got a little bit of a warm-up in. I played Sawyer earlier today. I'm here to tell you. He's not listening to this right now, okay? This earlier today, he gives you the baseline drive, man, every single time.
Okay. JB.
If you're going to go baseline.
Don't listen to him. He's got Sawyer by 4.5 points, okay?
Sawyer is a 4.5-point favorite.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So don't let him sit here and try to gas you like telling you to win. He's team Sawyer.
Right.
Sawyer is team home team, okay? Don't you listen to them.
I'm team setting a line. Las Vegas, you know? They don't pick favorites. They just set the line. Like, I'm thinking about picking Joel Berry plus the 4.5.
Are you?
But I'm just setting the line here, right?
Okay.
You got to establish it. It's home console. It's home arena.
Yeah.
Home studio. Yeah. Right? Like these are things that are working against Joel. But Joel can go into Cameron and have success. So I have no doubt he can go into the Sports Hub Triad studio, eat some East Coast wings, and also beat Sawyer Dillon, who's for some reason flexing. We're doing radio, man. No one can see you over there.
He is really flexing.
Gosh, this is so terrible.
I cannot wait to see him get drunk all around here.
All right.
I cannot wait.
Man, and things are about to get better. You guys are about to go head-to-head. You can find that again on the Twitch stream. We're about to talk to Nacho Trainer as well with the Venom. You got the Venom gear on right now, a Venom hoodie. So we're going to be giving away a Venom and Swarm prize pack in a bit. We're going to talk to Nacho, and we're going to give you updates on Joel Berry versus Sawyer Dillon. It's the showdown that we've been waiting for a long time.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's coming your way next.
He was never voted most likely to succeed.
You're such a loser.
But then again, were you?
The very concept is unimaginable.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
I'm so mad at Sawyer Dillon right now. He doesn't give a damn about the radio show that we're doing because we're trying to make things work out perfectly and time things well. So, of course, the game's going to overtime, and Sawyer's the guy who plays 2K, calling timeouts in order to give his guys rest, in order to advance the ball, even though there's 9 seconds left to go. Like, this is terrible. It's an overtime now. Can we check in on the live stream? Can we go to Twitch right now? It's Joel Berry in studio. It's an overtime. His Celtics, or excuse me, his Jazz are facing Sawyer's Celtics. Here's what we got right now.
It is currently 59 Celtics, 56 Jazz as the Celtics take the ball at the court.
Oh, they called a foul.
Yeah, Joel Berry doing a little bit of play-by-play there. Sawyer is the guy who says, give me that. Give me that when he's driving to the basket.
Yes, he is.
I hate that. I hate it so much.
The other thing I hate is cookies.
Oh, good Lord. Don't get me started. Cookies? How much time's left in this game?
There is 1:43 left in the game.
Nothing ever works out the way we want it to. How about we do an impromptu Let's Get Crazy? Let's do that. An impromptu Let's Get Crazy. Your call's welcome right now at 336-777-1600. Just hot takes galore. We're going to throw them out there. Let's get crazy. We're throwing away journalistic integrity as Robert keeps an eye on the Twitch stream with Joel Berry in overtime with Sawyer Dillon. As those two are going head-to-head in 2K, we will get the combatants on the air in 10 minutes. All right, I'll start things off. Your thoughts are welcome, 336-777-1600. Last week, Tim Duncan beat the Charlotte Hornets as the head coach of the Spurs. Greg Popovich was out for personal reasons. Wake Forest might be looking for a basketball coach sometime soon. Why not Tim Duncan keeping Randolph Childress as an assistant coach, keeping him around? Maybe Brandon Childress as a GA following in his dad's footsteps. It's going to be Tim Duncan, who's the head coach of the Wake Forest Demon Deacon. Hot takes only. None of that cold bleep. We will not judge a take for being too hot, but we will judge it for being too cold. Aaron, let's get crazy.
Tom Brady, of course, in the news recently. Everybody wants to know where Tom's going to go. Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Tom Brady's going to hang it up. Tom Brady's going to retire and won't sign anywhere this offseason in the NFL free agency frenzy.
Whoa! A hot take for sure. Tom Brady hanging it up. Let's go to Scott in Greensboro. Scott, let's get crazy. Scott, go! Scott, let's get crazy.
All right, I got one for you. It's going to be the craziest one you've ever heard.
All right.
Wake Forest is going to win a national championship in either football or men's basketball within the next decade.
Whoa! All right, that is pretty crazy. We're mowing through these. Robert, let's get crazy.
This weekend, the DC Defenders, they broke a new record for the longest beer snake in XFL history. Well, that's not going to sit well with the Roughnecks. And they're going to get a new record, and their cup snake is going to go all around the stadium and touch its tail.
Whoa! How about them Houston Roughnecks? How about them? The Roughnecks are getting W's left and right, including a win over the Seattle Dragons. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, let's get crazy.
You tell Joel Berry to stop playing on Virginia mode and score more than 60.
Talking trash to Joel Berry, I don't know if it gets better than that. Talking trash. Somebody just called in Joel and said, stop playing that Virginia style and score more than 60. Whoa, it's NBA 2K here. What are we talking about?
Disrespectful.
We'll get to the game in a second. We're in the middle of Let's Get Crazy. Robert, what do you got for me? Let's get crazy.
Once Alex Trebek does decide to hang up his quiz shoes, John Stewart's going to step up and fill those quiz shoes adequately.
Oh, John Stewart going to replace Alex Trebek. I got one for you. We got East Coast Wings hooking us up with wings. I am the biggest wing fan you're going to find. So special thanks to East Coast Wings in Kernersville and Greensboro for providing wings for today's big game between Sawyer and Joel Berry. However, unequivocally, I could say, with experience this weekend, a plate of wings is the worst thing to eat in front of a woman. I'm telling you right now that you get it in your teeth. There's no, like, way to eat a wing pleasantly. It's the best tasting thing you're going to find.
Yeah. I'm not there to impress you, sweetheart. I'm here to rip this little wing in half and daggone suck
how
it
many
down
have
to
you already have? How many have you already torn apart?
At least 13 of them. Listen, those wings were amazing today. They smacked. Like, I was out there. Like, even JB looked over at me and was like, damn, bro, you tearing them wings up.
Hey, focus on the game.
Huh? Did I? Not all of them. It's
nah,
a couple.
They gone.
Drumsticks. All
I know you ate all the wings. I haven't had any wings yet.
Well, I ate all the flats. There's some drumsticks.
No,
I'm
in here working. You're in there eating all the flats.
When we were on location and you were sitting over there getting smack faced in the booth beside us, you better be quiet over there, eh?
Aaron, let's get crazy.
Tacos are delicious. Nachos are gross.
Whoa!
Wow.
Slander of nachos.
Wow.
336-777-1600. Clearly, Joel Berry and Sawyer are in studio with us right now. So something has just happened in overtime.
Yeah.
We will tell you what that is next.
A much, 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 much better show, better show, better show.
The Drive with Josh Graham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what today is?
What is today, B-Dot?
The 23rd anniversary of the day that Biggie died, JG. That's why we got this Biggie right here.
That's a bummer way to start a segment.
Well, a lot of people are actually celebrating the life versus mourning the passing.
Yeah, then why don't we celebrate the day of his birthday rather than the day that he dies?
Well, the day that he was murdered, it was a lot more, historical.
Yeah, I just don't want to think about the day that he dies. I'd rather say, oh, it's Biggie's birthday.
Listen, in hip-hop, in the urban world, March 9th is a holiday. That is the point.
Oh, to my folks in Greenville, America, East Carolina fans out there, 3-9 means what ECU's record's been the last 3 years. So it's Scotty Montgomery Day, according to a lot.
Thanks,
shouts
bro.
To Mike Houston. They're trying to turn things around. So we got Joel Berry in studio here with us. Sawyer Dillon as well. Doesn't have headphones. Doesn't seem he needs them. What just happened? There are people who are on the edges of their seats right now. What just happened in this game? Joel was playing with the Utah Jazz, and Sawyer was playing with the Boston Celtics, and went to overtime. What was the result?
You gonna make me say it?
Sawyer. All right, Sawyer won the game. Why are you being so passive right now?
You know, I don't want to like come off as confident or cocky, but
well, state the facts.
So the facts was I almost choked it.
It was
bad. I mean, B-Dot was there. He called in. I mean, I think I gave Joel the ball like three straight times leading up to the fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter came down. It was pretty neck and neck. I mean, I thought I had a pretty wide open shot to win the game with Kemba. It didn't fall. Went to overtime. And then overtime, I just coasted, you know? Yeah.
It was a dunk and then a three. And then Joel just missed like four or five bunnies. I'm talking about just close ones. Gobert misses a close one. Easy buckets. Buckets, they make 10 times out of 10.
I remember interviewing Joel after games at North Carolina, and the folks in Chapel Hill, and I assume the folks at the Swarm in the NBA, they do a good job of coaching you the way you're supposed to answer questions and such. So let's do this in the most coach-speaky textbook way possible. Since you just lost a game, it's tough. How do you tell me the way you're supposed to handle questions from a reporter like me when I ask you, final possession there, you gave him an open look, what happened?
Man, I just – it just didn't go my way.
Yeah.
It just didn't go my way.
Now, can I give you the in his mind version?
Give me what – you can be the person that is translating what he just said.
It was BS. The game was glitching. Everybody that was there saw it. I'm sitting here trying to make shots. Guys, I'm talking about open layups. How you going to miss an open layup? Really? Donovan Mitchell missed an open layup. Yeah, right. I'm telling you.
Yes, Aaron.
So, Dot, you go on the game cheated? Is that what you're going
with?
Yeah, glitch
mode. The game cheated? You know that's how you go.
All right.
Glitch.
We can maybe transition this to a broader discussion of what things in video games, what pet peeves do you have more than anything else? Because I hate it when people blame the game glitching for them losing. I hate it.
It be happening, though.
Is this game under protest? Is that what's happening right now?
No.
Look, we can run it back one.
What was the final score?
Like, it was a 12-point win.
Yeah,
it was a
12-point. You won by 12.
They threw my bench in at the end.
Sawyer blue steel came in.
Seriously, Josh.
Sawyer covered the spread by four and a half.
Robert, you're a rich man.
That's what they call a bad beat. It goes to overtime. Beat. You're thinking, oh, man, it's close. Someone's going to win. And then Sawyer covers the 4.5. I do have to say this, though, Joel, and I mean it in all sincerity. I mean, you're handling the loss well right now. Do you think you're handling the loss a lot better than you would have your senior year in college?
Oh, man. It's about the same. It's about the same.
No, it's not. You haven't punched a wall, JB.
I wasn't going to say
JB, you haven't punched a wall today, so that lets us know that you have matured.
I have matured. So,
wait, what? I would like to know that. Who were y'all? Who had who? You and Theo were playing 2K?
Yeah, it was him and Theo, I thought.
Well,
yeah.
See, what really had me mad from the start was he got Golden State.
Okay, yeah.
You know, Golden State, man.
Yeah.
Steph and Clay get to hit threes. Yes. You really can't do nothing.
Facts.
Robert, I could hear him in the other studio, an audible gasp when he learned that Theo was playing with Golden State. There's no worse video game 2K crime than saying, oh, I'm going to be the Warriors circa 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Unless you're Black Core, and if you play on Black Core and you just pick Curry or Clay or somebody off that team and just build your whole team as sharpshooters, it's the worst.
What's Black Core? What is that? What is he
saying? I have no idea what
like
that is.
Black Top, like outside.
Oh, my son's probably outside like, Dad, come on. Shut up. Sorry.
So we're going to be at the Greensboro Coliseum the rest of the week, Tuesday through Friday. We're excited about it. You going to catch your boys tomorrow night?
I'm thinking about it.
What are you thinking about?
I need to be there. I probably need to be there so we can make this 5-game run.
Yeah.
They say I look like Jeremiah Francis,
you do.
So I could check in.
Yes, sir.
Put a jersey on it and come back.
Wear the 1-3. Jeremiah Francis's minutes seem to be going up.
And his buckets. He is a bucket now. How does he know the offense so well?
At Sports Up Dryad, 336-777-1600. This is the post-game show to Sawyer and Joel Berry's 2K game that just happened here. So let me figure this out. Let's go person by person here. Sawyer, you talked some smack. You felt confident when this first went down, when we first started discussing this in January. Did Joel exceed your expectations?
He did. His best, like, I wasn't expecting him to be as good of a defender as he was. Like, it was really hard to ISO unless I kind of got, like, a running start. Like, if we're just both sitting there and he's guarding me, it was almost impossible for me to get around him, which caught me by surprise. I was thinking, usually when you guard, it's, like, kind of, like, you can't really predict, but he was all over me. So I had to work on, like, kicking out to the corners and stuff like that.
Can I say something, Josh?
What do you got, B.I.?
That was a big discrepancy in the game. See, when they were playing, all right, so Joel's on offense with the ball, and Sawyer's not playing defense man up. Sawyer has another player and is letting the computer guard up Joel Berry.
Did you take notes on this?
No, I didn't take notes. I'm on Snapchat. I mean, Twitter right now. But what I'm saying is I just remember this.
You don't strike me as someone who's still on Snapchat.
No, I remember this happening, though, because Joel screamed out, yo, you playing computer defense.
Let this be known. This was in the fourth quarter, down by four.
I hate that. Down
computer
by,
defense.
Oh, my God. Like, when you throw, like, when you're playing Madden, you throw the 50-yard bomb down the field, they don't turn into the cornerback.
Yes.
I hate that.
Yes, that's what he would – that's what. And so now Sawyer's like, oh, you should have put it in the rules in the beginning. Whoop-de-whoop. So now I'm like, uh-oh, there's going to be a discrepancy.
And then when it was guarding one-on-one, I started getting buckets. Yeah. And then he went back to the computer.
Sawyer.
I was contesting this.
You're letting the computer guard him?
Yes.
No, see, what he does is he calls a lot of pick and roll, so I'm having to switch to the center. I'm having to make sure I'm forcing his guy around the screen correctly. I mean, it's a lot.
Robert, this sounds like Sawyer making a ton of excuses here.
At the beginning of this game, I was like, hey, what do pro players, how do pro 2K players play? And he was like, oh, they set up screens, and they'll make the four or the five. They'll guard the paint and then let everybody guard around it. So he was doing the sweatiest stuff possible to try to win this game.
Like, Sawyer's calling timeouts in order to advance the ball when there's 9 seconds left.
Nah,
and you have enough time to do what you need. You're calling timeout. Hey, I need to give the guys a breather. Maybe give the
virtual players.
The virtual players. Wow, you read my mind. The virtual players a pep talk.
I told Josh, I was going to tell Dot this. Me and Josh decide to play about 12 o'clock. If you will know as soon as I say this, he's this type of guy. Does substitutions for the full minute in the timeout.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the full
man.
Minute he's doing
hey, hey, the 2001-2002 Lakers were tired.
Come on.
Okay? Kobe needed a breather. So
you
did Shaq.
With the 2001 Lakers.
I was. I haven't played 2K in years, though. He waxed me with Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki. Come on.
Shaq and Kobe?
Yeah.
God, you're an embarrassment.
I don't play. I don't remember the last time I owned a video game console.
I blame the player on that one. It's a good team.
You think? Holmes, we just did a hot take segment. Robert, does that warrant the hip-hop air horn, the fact that the Lakers were a good team in the early 2000s? I think so. Yeah. Man, one of your boys, Dwayne Bacon, he's going to be playing in Atlanta tonight for the Hornets. How about that?
Yeah, that's he's been hooping, man, and he's been came down and did his thing, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep an eye on that later on tonight. Big NBA slate where you have Milwaukee facing Denver, you have Utah facing the Toronto Raptors. So a couple big games in the NBA tonight. So I got to ask you this, though. This is a big headline, something that's going on in the NBA. People were discussing over the weekend. It is the Lakers winning their last two against Milwaukee and the Clippers. Giannis, he's been seen as the runaway MVP candidate all throughout the year. Now the odds have become close to even, where LeBron is seen to be an MVP front runner right there with Giannis.
Off one game?
Two games.
Two games. And it's not just those two games. It's every time there's a big game, he puts on his big boy panties. Okay? Remember when he played against Zion, what'd he do? He specifically made it his business to dominate those games. Against Giannis, what did he do? D'd up Giannis. Make sure I'm the better player out here on the court. Last night, against Kawhi, what does he do? Guards Kawhi. They have to go through Paul George to get buckets. Because who? King James is on Kawhi. I'm telling you, he should be front runner.
It's my theory. I've been workshopping this for the last 24 hours or so. It's something I believe for a long time. MVP awards are won by players who have the best story, the best narrative, not necessarily the best season, where, like, I mean, there's times where the best actor doesn't win because they won best actor the year before, the year prior to that. Giannis, he won the award last year. He's still a young guy. LeBron's 35. He's in year 17. He's playing for the Lakers. And I think the story of LeBron not having won in over 5 years is something that I think is going to be more than just a tiebreaker. It's something that's going to work in his favor, where I think some of the voters think, okay, Giannis won it last year, and Giannis is going to have many years to win it.
Don't do that.
While LeBron doesn't necessarily have that. I think the better story wins. Johnny Cochran, he said it in the 90s. Johnny Cochran once said that the better, the attorney that tells the better story is going to win the case. And that's what we're trying to do with every single one of our cases. It's not necessarily about the facts. It's about the narrative. It's about the emotional appeal of it. And the emotional appeal, I think, favors LeBron, while even the stats favor
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
But that diminishes the skill of the things that LeBron has been doing when you just say that he's going to get an advantage because his story
is better. All the Saber metrics, all the analytics, the stats, everything favors Giannis. He's been more consistent than LeBron across the entire season. But Giannis won it last year, and LeBron hasn't won it the last handful of years. Like,
They don't mind a back-to-back. They gave it to Steph back-to-back. They wouldn't mind giving it to Giannis back-to-back. That's a great story.
Right. It is a great story. But LeBron James is having the type of year where it's close enough that narrative and story can play a role in it. That's the way I feel. What do you think, Joe?
I say the story is there. I mean, let's all be honest. I mean, LeBron is doing this at age 35 in his 17th year. I mean, crazy. Not too many people can do that. Giannis is still young, but LeBron is doing this, and everybody knows what LeBron does. And I think he should win MVP because of the impact that he has on the game.
Right.
Not only does he score, but, I mean, look at the passes that he makes. He's playing defense.
Yeah.
Just overall, he's doing everything almost. I mean,
for historical significance as well, Michael Jordan won 5 MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's won 4.
Mm-hmm.
This is a chance for him to even up that regard. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won 6, of course. And I think he won. Robert, see if the stat is correct. I think Kareem won 6 NBA MVPs all in one decade. He did it in the 70s, I think. I think Kareem won all 6 of his MVPs in a 10-year stretch. Crazy thing he did.
That's impressive.
Right. Yeah, I would say so. But no, I think it's going to be LeBron. Yeah, Robert just fact-checked it. It is correct. So I think there needs to be maybe a rematch for this video game.
But it's got to be at the Swarm facility.
Yeah.
JB's
got
to have some home court advantage next time.
I agree.
Bro.
And it might have to be on a PS4 with no glitch.
All right.
Yeah. We might have to write up some rules, man.
I know
no off-ball defense.
Ooh.
On-ball only.
Golly, I would never take those turns. I'm telling you, I'm not playing on-ball defense only against an NBA player. No way. You're crazy.
Let's do it.
Yeah, or maybe even neutral court. Like, if you guys could find a way to link up somehow, some way, we can make this happen. Because that was just too good of a game.
That was fun.
It was really good. Was I will fun. Say I lost, but it was a really good game.
Joel Berry, what regrets do you have?
My overtime. I turned the ball over sometimes too. So I
Damn
mean
it.
I'm a point
Roy
guard.
Williams,
That's
Roy
what
Williams
I'm
told you. Roy Williams taught you the value of the basketball.
Yeah, I know, and he capitalized on it. So I doubted him a little bit, but Sawyer came to play, so I gotta give my props to him.
Theo had a good Roy impression. Did you ever have one?
No, not really. Theo's more of a character than I am.
Yeah, I wonder what Roy would say if he saw you turning over the basketball in 2K in overtime the way you did.
Ooh.
Yeah, something like that. What was that, Robert?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Looking at that overtime stat sheet. Here's the reaction. Robert, that's Ooh. The key. Yeah, there you go.
Dude, it doesn't just happen like magic, Josh. All right, everything that you want to happen
I
over here, I even though I'm just a stat checker for you, I still got to do stuff over here. All right.
I love when he lashes out. Yo, there's no greater joy when I'm in the car listening and you lash out like that, Rob. I love it.
Me and Robert, we are. He's my radio wife.
Like, yeah.
We are a married couple on the air.
Be careful. Did you see on my IG story about the work husbands and the work wife? Relationships?
I did not.
Oh my gosh, it's some of the most disrespectful stuff ever going on in some of these work relationships.
I think I did see some of that, and Woo. I don't think that's what's happening between me and Robert.
Oh, no.
I mean,
no.
Maybe on my part, I might be sneaking around on him, but.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, so before we let Joel go and B-Dot go as well, Tuesday through Friday.
We're there, baby.
ACC tournament. We're going to be there every single day, and maybe Joel Berry will make it for the 9:00 game tomorrow.
9:00.
7:00. I'm just playing with you.
I was about to say, what? I got work. My wife already picked out my outfits, though, so I'm ready.
Yeah, Sawyer was asking me, hey, man, what do I wear?
Yeah, that's why I was there too, Sawyer.
B-Dot was asking me that last week.
Because y'all always got that
dress like clowns.
But they always got that same goofy attire, the stupid blazer and the jeans. And
this is interesting.
And the Oxford shoes. Like, dude.
This is interesting. You saw what I wore at Cameron. I had like the gray jacket on. I had some khaki pants.
Yeah.
and brown shoes. You're clowning me for this?
No, I'm not clowning you, but that's just like the uniform. You know how like Popeyes has a uniform and Wendy's has a uniform? The journalists for the ACC tournament clearly have a uniform.
Nah, man. I think if you wear a jacket, you're going way above and beyond. Like Sawyer, he works down there. How many people are wearing jackets? Maybe two or three people?
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Yeah. Really?
Like, usually it's a long sleeve shirt or a polo. Polo and jeans, that's generally the journalist.
So nobody's out there with track suits on?
No.
Yeah, I'm saucing on y'all.
I can be the first one.
No, yeah, let's do it, Sawyer. Track suits all week. We saucing on these fools.
Sawyer, how many track suits do you own?
I got a matching gray pair, I guess you could say.
How many track suits do you own, B-Dot?
Definitely lost count on track suits.
All right, so B-Dot's going to wear a different track suit every day
all right, bet.
At the ACC tournament this week. I think we're just going to send you into the locker rooms, and we're going to get you to get reaction from players.
I would love to do it.
Like, they may not even know you're coming. Like, I'm sure the North Carolina guys.
He can't go
in
the Carolina locker room, though. He's going to speak his mind.
Tomorrow night, he's gonna go in there.
He ain't going there.
Garrison.
Yeah, G. You know. Oh man, listen. All I know is this. I'm serious. Now this is where my professionalism is really gonna have to stand ahead, because if we should happen to lose tomorrow night, going in that locker room.
Oh man.
Did you ever think about that?
I feel like I want to interview B-Dot more than I want to interview Garrison and all the guys.
Right.
Woo!
That's what I want to hear.
It's going to make my hair pop off.
No, we just got to get you away from the press conference room.
Oh, God. Like,
Coach Williams.
Mother.
Oh, man.
Coach Williams.
Yeah.
The hell.
Yeah.
That's B-Dot. I'll let you guys go. Feel free to grab some wings on the way out. Thanks to the folks from East Coast Wings for hooking us up here. And a special thanks to Edible Arrangements as well of Kernersville. Special thanks to...
We got edibles?
Yes, Edible Arrangements.
Edible Arrangements.
Okay, yeah. I'll be
Robert
right
here. Thanks to them and East Coast Wings. Robert, what do we got in Take It to the House?
Life is like a bag of hot Cheetos. You never know what you're going to get.
All right, we take it to the house, Dak.